Thank you, ladies. You know I like the old ones. That was beautiful. Thank you very much. If you take your Bibles and turn this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. If you'll stand when you get there, please. Matthew 13, 44, and it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it also. Father, as always, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. So this morning we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And as always, just let me be your messenger, that you receive all the praise and all the glory, Father. For it's in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You know that we've been going through Matthew, and we've been going through what the Bible calls the kingdom parables and the teaching. And so these two short sections of verses here right here seem very small in the parable, these two parables that Jesus gives us that we're looking at this morning. But they're of great, great importance. So I want to go back a little bit and just rehash a little bit of what we've studied so far, because it has everything to do with these two parables that we're going to study this morning. Jesus said that he spoke to them in parables. He told the disciples, it's been given you to understand, but the other people are not really going to understand if I go in straight and do the straight teaching. So I'm going to speak to them in parables, which was the custom in the East always then and still is today. They love parables. But Jesus said, I'm going to teach in parables, and he did. And we saw the first one that is called the Star of the Kingdom Parables, the parable or the teaching of the sower. You remember what we've discussed so far? This is kind of what we call a transition period a little bit. Jesus' teaching, his whole essence of being here, but his teaching now is starting to take from the old wineskin. Remember that? The old wine in the old wineskin, and the new wine in the new wineskin. If you take two circles, and we've said this before, and you put them together, you have a little section in there that is the same, right? That's what we can call a transition period. These parables right here are kind of like that. They include the old. They're talking to Israel for sure. The old teaching's there, but also Jesus is starting to point, and we live in a blessed period where we can see that. Not all of them can see that, but he's starting to teach in these parables what we know now would be a teaching of the church also. We saw in the first parable, what did he say? The parable of the sower. And he told us in a different section there that God is the sower, and the seed is the word of God that has came and it is put into a field that is cultivated and is prepared to receive that word, that seed, right? But what did he tell us before that? He said there were three other options there that the seed fell upon the word. He said the wayside, he said where the rocks were, he said where the thorns and the thistles were is where the seed fell or the word of God would fall and would not and could not be received. But then you had the field that was fertile that would be received. And then we talked about that's three out of four that would not receive the word of God because of certain conditions. And we realize in this teaching that the wayside, the rocks, the thorns and thistles and the fields are what? They're the conditions of people's heart and how they will receive the word of God. I happened to think about it when I was going back over, when I worked over here where Logan works at Texas Gas. Logan, you know exactly, and DJ, what I'm talking about, the truck drivers would come in either to bring oil or to pick up used oil or to bring things like that. And y'all know I was in the Gideons back then, and I always carried a lot of the little Bibles, okay? And when the truck drivers came in, it was just a ministry the Lord had me doing. Didn't ask permission. They never said anything about it. But I would give them a little Bible, asking that they wanted a little Bible. And I got to thinking about this, the preparation of the heart, of how it was received. Some of them would take that Bible. I could tell from the very first they weren't very interested, but they would take the Bible, they were nice, and they'd put it in their pocket, and they would instantly turn and go back to their work or just get on another conversation. Words sown by the wayside, okay? Trampled down dirt, can't get in. Then others would take the Bible and they'd say, yeah, we would talk about it a little bit, but they would quickly change the conversation to something else. They had a little bit of interest, but not enough to really allow me to talk to them or get into it at all. Word where the rocks are. No root able to get there. Then there was others that would take that Bible and they would actually, we would go to the back. If you ever seen a little Gideon Bible, in the back it tells you the plan of salvation. It's got helps and everything like that. And we would talk about it a little bit, but they would instantly take the conversation to their life. What's going on here and there? And they would change the conversation. They never would let me really get to where I wanted to go. Okay, they were close, but word were of the thorns and the thistles coming and they take the word away. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that's Satan's work. And then there was others, a few, that I'd give a little Bible to, and they were so excited to get it, they wouldn't hardly let me talk. They started witnessing to me. I remember one truck driver, he drove up over and I gave it to him, and we got through talking, and he said, you know, he said, I love the Lord and I'm a Christian. He said, but I've been pulling away a little bit. He said, I'm so excited. He said, you've got me enthused again. It wasn't me, it was the Word of God. That's the Word of God on the fertile soil. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Then he took us, though, to another parable. He said, okay, here you are. You're in the field. Church, you're in the field. But he also said, this is the world. This is the Word in the world that is fertile. But he gave us a warning because he said, guess what? An enemy came in and he sowed some tares. And he said, that's Satan. He said, and he sowed some tares in the midst. Where? Not in the all of the field. He does that also, but in the fertile spots. Where we are. Where you are. The tares are there. So it was a little warning in that parable there that Jesus gave us. He said, it's the kingdom parable. He said, a man sowed, and that's God the Father that sowed. Then he said, it's the Son of Man sowed up here, where he talks about the tares, where he explained the tares up there. Well, then we get to the other two parables. And you might say, you know what? They're a little bit different. They might be out of context a little bit. He's changing the conversation here a little bit when he talks about, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and a man found it hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. It is a treasure. And we can preach, and there's nothing wrong with that preaching, that yes, when you have salvation and you found the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved, who wouldn't, knowing what that life is, living under the presence of the Holy Spirit, living the Christian life, who wouldn't give all and sell all that he has to have that, right? Yes, that's a wonderful teaching. That's a good teaching. That's what we should have. But then there's something else I want to bring out to you this morning. The two parables that we have here, Jesus gives us a picture of his love for the wheat. Okay? The wheat are the sons of the kingdom. His disciples are those of us who follow him, right? You understand that. That's the results of the seed of the word of God being sown into the field, into the fertile soil. It has brought forth what? It has brought forth a crop. There's a fruit being produced. That represents you and I. That represents his children upon this earth. The wheat represents you. And so the Lord is showing here his love for the wheat, of love for us. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5. You're familiar with this. He said, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God given to us. So we see that the Lord has that love for the wheat. And yes, that is what these two parables are showing. But I also want to show something else. First of all, in all the context of the other parables, the man that sowed was God. Or Jesus says, the Son of Man. So in the Word of God. Another thing you see in verse 44, When the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Well, we are bankrupt before Christ. I have nothing that I can buy my salvation with. I have nothing to sell to acquire the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. In the first parables, it's God who does the sowing. And I believe here also, although the other teaching is wonderful, nothing wrong with that. That is good. We're supposed to give all that we have for Christ once we have salvation. But it is God that does the purchasing. Let me give you three things that Warren Wiersbe brings out here. I like what he has to say here. He says, first of all, Christ is not a hidden treasure. Okay? The treasure hidden in this field. Christ is not a hidden treasure. We cannot find anything, Romans 3:10 says, there is none who understands, there's none who seeks after God. And number three, we cannot purchase our salvation, can we? No. So to me, the man is God. He purchased the field. And Jesus has told us that the field is what? Is the world. So here's something interesting. Exodus 19:5 tells us this. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me above all the people for all the earth. He's talking to Israel here. Psalm 134:4 says, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Israel has become a hidden treasure in the world. It is still God's treasure. But there's wonderful things from that. John 11:51 says, now this he did not say of his own authority, speaking of the priest, the high priest of that year. He didn't know he was prophesying, but John tells us that he did. He did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Aren't we glad, according to Romans 11, that we are grafted into the branches and have become a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree? Amen. Amen. We have the promises also. The wheat sitting here this morning. So, the picture here is not to split hairs of what we just talked about at all. But it is to emphasize that God would pay a great price to bring salvation to the world. Let's look at what it actually is here. Don't get caught up in the other. Both are fine. But here's what you need to realize. The man, God, sells all that he has and buys that field. Look at down here for the pearl. It says, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, we can give our all if we belong to Christ. And it's worth giving up all for Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Paul was willing to give up everything. In the same way, you are a treasure before God, so you also are a pearl of great value. So let's finally get to the crust of the matter here. Jesus in all the parables is teaching how the Word of God reaches you in your heart. He has taught how you receive the Word of God. And if you received it in a certain way and were able to in that fertile field, then the Word of God through the Holy Spirit worked through your life and it produced salvation. Now having that salvation, you grow up as wheat in that field. Even though there's tares all around us in this world, you grow up nurtured by God in that field and you produce fruit. And of what value to the farmer that is? The highest value. He sold all, it says, and bought it. So let's get to it. Okay? Think about this. Could God have given any more than his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Could he have given any more? I think God purposefully made it this way so that we could see that he gave all. If you believe this, then you should know of the great value that you are worth. I think through the terrors in the world and through Satan's work, I've seen it through the years, I've felt it through the years a little bit. I think as the church, sometimes we walk around because we have forgotten a little bit, and it's our fault, of what value we are to God. And when we do, we water down what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. That's what Satan loves to do. He loves to bring forth deception. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us this. Or do you not know that your body is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you were not your own? For we were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So did you get that? You don't belong to you. You belong, your body and you belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. So are you valuable? Yes. You were bought, I was bought at a great, great price. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid on Jesus our sins, the iniquity of everyone. So God has shown you that you are a great treasure. You are a valued pearl in both of these parables here. So what am I really worth to God? Did you know that you were valued at the price of his son? When you get up every morning as a Christian and you go out into the world, are we going to allow Satan to give us those old thoughts where we keep our head down and we're just trying to trudge through life? Or do we wake up every morning in a loving way toward God, realizing that our worth is the worth of his son before him? We were bought with a great price. You are a valued treasure. You are a valued pearl. So people might ask, well, all these things going on in the world, does God really watch me that closely? I mean, surely his eyes are on Israel right now, and the new Trump administration coming in, and the war in Ukraine. Surely God is more busy with that stuff than to be able to worry about my little bitty things that I have in my life. There are those that seem to walk closer with God than I do. Does he give them preference over me? And if I do certain things, or maybe I work a little harder, will God love me more? Your value is not because of what you've done, it's because of what he's done. Galatians 4:4-7 tells us this. Well, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? Adoption as sons. And because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. You are of great value. But what has man put on Jesus as his value? 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26 tells us, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. If you could give all for Jesus, would you? All he asks is this: your belief, your trust, your faith, and your obedience. We valued him at 30 pieces of silver. God values you at the price of his son. Are you a treasure? Are you a pearl? Yes, you are. And you couldn't do anything to obtain that. He did it for us every single day. Do not allow Satan to deceive you and make you walk around like you're not what you are. Some would rather give the silver than themselves, But that's not what he accepts. Think about it. The question is not what is Jesus' value to us, is what is our value to him? He gave all for us. Look at it again. It says the man sells all and buys the field. And he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what makes Satan so full of rage. That we should have been judged and cast into hell. Having been judged, we've been found innocent, though, because of the blood of Christ. It infuriates him. He never knew it, that God would give his son. You see, I was supposed to die and go to hell. That God created, God's greatest creations, mankind, we were supposed to die and go to hell. That was one of the great things that Satan wanted to have against God, to put it in God's face, that your creation failed you and they're all going to go to hell. Because of your holiness, you have to judge them. You have no option. Well, yes, God did. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to give my son. That's what you were. He gave all for us. Satan never imagined that God would give his son. And some people never accept the fact that he did. Because the word cannot get in to any further soul. There's some of you this morning going through difficult times. I know. There are some struggles that never seem to let go of us in life. And there's a place that life brings us to that we just need to know that we're a pearl. Sometimes we can have all the teachings in the Bible and they're wonderful. But sometimes in life we're brought to the point where we just need to know that we're the pearl, right? We need to know that. Grace is God taking that which had no value and forming it into a pearl. A great treasure in his hands. Jesus, show me your pearl, his father might say. And Jesus opens his hand, and there it lays, right next to the nail scar. How valuable are you? You're the pearl in Jesus' hands, right next to the nail scar. You're as valuable as Jesus. So why don't you trust him? And why don't you give him your life? Why don't we give him all the cares of our life? You're that valuable. I want you to walk out here today knowing that in your heart. It's not in a conceited way. It's in a way of peace that only God gives. That you're of more value to God if you belong to him than you can ever imagine. And if you're here this morning and you don't belong to him, you easily can. All he asked is, because he has bought the field, he has done everything, all he asks is you have faith in him, trust in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in the sacrifice that he gave for us, trust and obey and just give him your life. Trust in Jesus. It's not trust in the world. It's not trust in religion. It's not trust in the church. It's not trust in a pastor. It is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with your life because he gave his all for you. Amen. What a wonderful thing. You respond as the Holy Spirit leads you.